4 HKX Mobile.
Yeah, here, Patrick, Ben 0TR.
Roger that, and I've done seen several accidents today, too.
You've seen a lot of them. Well, first time I ever had any problem with my Avalon since 2011, and I think it may be low on gas, I'm not sure, but it's not cooling like it was yesterday.
It's possible. You could have sprung a leak, gasket dried, or O-ring dried out, or, you know, something just give up after that long. But that's a pretty good record from 2011 to now to not have a problem out of it.
I've never had a problem out of an Avalon. Out of four of them, I changed one water pump and had a teeny tiny leak, and I was going to Michigan. That's the only time I've ever done anything to any of them.
Pretty good track record, Dan. You've had some good luck out of it. I'd stick with them.
We're good. Just never had any problem. We had a Duracell, a Corolla before that. Tires and oil, that's all you got to do for
them. Well, Toyotas, and I've had good luck and good service out of them also.
Just all of a sudden, it's just not getting cold enough. I'll put the gauges on them, but I can't do, it is starting to feel cooler a little bit now, but I can't do much with it. These things are too sophisticated nowadays.
Go too far, make sure you don't have anything blocking the condenser. Make sure no leaks or anything like that are up in between a radiator and a condenser, because it will cause some problems.
Well, I'm munching down on some Publix spicy chicken now that I've turned off of Wade Hampton. I just won't eat while I'm up on Wade Hampton. But back here on the back roads, I'll take a piece of chicken once in a while.
For eating out here, you better have your A game out here, that's for sure.
Doozies out there. I like to be home by this time before the 3 o'clock shifts start getting off. I wouldn't be surprised if the current condenser was plugged up with pollen.
The amount of pollen there's been out this year, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Been out very much so I doubt it, but I'll look at it. But now it seems like it's cooling good. I don't know. Maybe it was an intermittent. It's getting plumb cold now.
You check that airflow across the condenser. If it can't exchange the air, then it will not let it cool properly.
True. I had an odd one time on a Duracell. So it makes me a liar, because I did have one other problem on the air conditioning, and just brought it to mind. Over on the receiver unit, it's a little tank. It had a hex nut on the top of it, like a bolt. Only in the center of it, you could see there was something in the center of it, some porous. It looked like rock, but I don't know what it was. But if the condenser pressure got too high, that was a fuse, and it would relieve itself and let all of the Freon out. And back then it was R12. So I didn't have any knowledge of it. And I went uptown one day, and I was just fine, and it was cooling. And I stopped at a stoplight, and smoke, what I thought was smoke, come billowing out from underneath the hood. So I got out and looked, didn't find anything. Didn't realize that fuse was on there, but I had no air conditioning. So I went to Toyota and I bought it. I put the new fuse in, I recharged the system, and it did just fine right there in the driveway. Well, I went someplace else and I pulled up to a stoplight, and when I did, pow-y, this thing went off. So I took it home and put another fuse in and charged it, and I got to watching it with the pressure gauges, And whenever that electric cooling fan on the condenser, of course, out front, it was what they call a pancake motor, and it would fail to start. But if you drove down the road, of course, the air would pinwheel it, and then it would go ahead and start on its own. But the second you stopped at a stop sign, that pressure went up over 350 pounds, just boom, instantaneously, and it blew that fuse. That was one of those intermittents that was very difficult to troubleshoot.
Some of those can be a lot of fun to find. Imagine working in a dealership doing it for a living, and a customer comes in. What do you mean you can't find it? You can't verify it? It does it to me every time. Well, it doesn't do it to me. I'm sorry.
I've gone to people before. when I went to work at a wheel plant, they had a boiler. And let me make this turn here. Continuously caused alarms, and they'd have to send a guy back to reset it. So they had done everything they knew how, and they ordered these new valves, and they were huge. They were like 2-inch pipe going into them. So I got to checking on it because that was my watch on preventative maintenance. And so I brought an old Simpson meter from home, which is an analog meter, Simpson 260. And I had my digitals. So I got to watching this thing. And when that single-phase motor on top of that boiler would start, it would the voltage on it would drop down for a few milliseconds. Well, these valves were set up on the gas for safety's sake, and they would shut within so many tenths of a second. And what was happening was the voltage would drop on it, and they'd drop out, and then it sounded an alarm. And they had 6 or 8 different techs working on it. So I went and got the big boss, and I brought him over there, and I showed him that. And I said, Fred, I said, what you got here is whoever ran this ran about 100 and some feet of number 12 wire down to this 1-horsepower single-phase motor. And I said, it's the wrong size wire, number one. I said, number two, the boiler's been designed wrong, and you need to put a 3-phase motor on there to get rid of the starting switch and the starting capacitor and all that other stuff, because they don't have one on a 480-volt 3-phase motor. They did that, and they never had no more alarms.
That's funny how experience teaches you a few things.
Figure on those valves were way over $1,000 a piece. And I thought, wow, they both can't be bad at the same time. It's just common sense. And but you had to catch that. And the digital meters, at that time, it would have been very hard to catch an intermittent like that. Unless you had, you know, 4,000-count meter or something, and you were sitting there watching it specifically on the analog graph. You might have caught it that way. But that old Simpson, it caught it. I had a lot of experience with motors before that.
For HKX Friday. Yeah, it's amazing what watching a little needle bounce can tell you. Sometimes you don't need all that sophisticated equipment.
When the digital meters first come out, they had a Simpson 360. And I used it for setting field current on big, huge DC motor motor drives, at variable speed drives for big, huge machine tools. And but if you tried using that silly thing on an inductive load, like say a 50 or 100 horse AC motor, it'd read 000 on the resistance on the windings, because the windings are made out of such large wire that they have very little resistance. And you might only have a very, very extremely low ohm reading on them. And it didn't see it for some reason on an inductive load. And so when you read 000, well, it was a short circuit. Wrong. Go get the Simpson, put it on there, and it'd give you an accurate reading. I think they've since improved them quite a lot since then. Well, Patrick, we've arrived home. Need to get out and unload these mass consumables. You have a good day. This is N0TR.
You and Bernice have a good afternoon, and thanks for the conversation. And y'all have a good day. 732 KO4 HKX. Clear.